Last time on Culture File, we were in the soloist rehearsal room with pianist Ivan Illich to discover just why it's useful and even good to hear romantic music from Scriabin alongside more contemporary sounds. Scriabin, who suffered from / enjoyed synesthesia, developed an elaborate theory of the relationship between colour and music, which Illich explores in the second part of our interview.
Many people know him exclusively for the fact that he had this condition where every note meant a color for him. And he wrote pieces, for example, for the organ, where they would be connected to this kind of visual display. Actually, quite contemporary again. You know, this is what we're doing today with audiovisual works. I mean, there are people. I was in Brazil recently, and there was another person on the program in this festival who was playing a percussion concert, percussion solo, with videos that had been created to be displayed while he was playing, where everything was in sync. Every single moment, all the rhythms were in sync with exactly with the video. And I find that, you know, in many ways, Scriabin, he was a predecessor. I mean, he saw that it would be interesting to combine, to really send you media in several different forms at the same time. And, you know, when that happens, of course, there's kind of an overwhelming quality. I mean, are you listening first? Does the visual come second? Is it the other way around? But again, that's one of these things where you have to be comfortable with the idea that the public is not going to be understanding everything you're doing. They're just going to be, you know, receiving this sensation. I'm actually quite reassured to know that Scriabin agreed with me that these tones that kind of, they're something called the circle of fifths, which is a way of kind of adding increasing complexity to the way we read music, but there's also a relationship between these keys. So you start with C, and you can either go up or down. If you go up, it goes to G, and it goes up one more, D, and then to A. And these are all quite considered bright keys. And it turns out that if you look at the colors that, you know, Scriabin was thinking of, these were oranges and green and yellow and the brighter end of the primary colors. And then if you go in the opposite direction from C down to F and B flat, E flat, A flat. I mean, listen to the difference between A flat and A. This is A flat, let's say, which is supposed to be some kind of a purple. And then you have A, which is green. You know, green is just, it's in your face and it's unavoidable. It's the kind of thing you might use for a road sign to make sure that the person would slow down. But then you have, you know, D flat, which is the kind of thing you might use to decorate again, you know, maybe a nightclub. Something very, very dark. So to get from one key to the next, it turns out that if you're already in one color, let's say this, there's a piece by John Cage called Dream, which is a very ambiguous piece in terms of tonality. He starts in this kind of E flattish thing, which is a light purple for Scriabin. Now, what would happen if we were to play that in a completely different key? What about A major, the green? Completely different, isn't it? And that's something that's become a concern of mine as a musician because, you know, one of the things that happens in a career is that you're looking for new music, but it's not necessarily enough of a stimulant. You want to become a better musician. You really want to improve. So one of the things I've taken upon myself is to experiment practicing pieces in different keys. And I find that fascinating because, you know, I don't necessarily, the way Scriabin did, I'm not going to say to myself, well, let's try it in yellow now. I am still thinking of it as a musician in terms of technical things. But I'm not unaware and insensitive to the difference that it can make when you move something up or down the piano. It sounds completely different. I mean, there's one. It's astonishing to me because, you know, there was an example that just happened to me as I was doing that. You get so caught up in the difference in colors that you forget what, you know, what the transposition is supposed to be. But I find that that's something, you know, again, to come back to Scriabin, that's something that happens in this piece, Garlands, for example, which I said sounded like Feldman. He basically has this strange material that he then cycles through in a bunch of different keys. And you can tell that what's important with him is not so much the fact that it's always going up by a half step and it becomes systematic, but that there are these little nuances. And actually, one of the reasons I play this piece is because I heard a piece that was quite similar, and I couldn't believe how creative the person was being with the colors they were finding in the moment of playing it. And I think that's something that, you know, when you've been playing the piano for 30 years, you tend to lose that magic, which is actually what the audience remembers. You know, they don't remember the person who played all the right notes, or, you know, that the program, you know, the Bach happened before the Beethoven, and so chronologically that made sense. I mean, there are all these things that we kind of knock ourselves out about, but actually it's just that one little moment when the... It's when the dynamics change, or there's some little nuance or some little detail, some glitter in the sound, which is, you know, to be honest, as much of a surprise to the musician as it is to the people in the audience. And when you can share that together, that's where the magic happens.
So not Snoop Dogg's crib then. Ivan Illich on A World of Musical Colour, and the album on which the pianist tracks his latest explorations, The Transcendentalist, is released June 2nd on Heresy Records Naxos. HeresyRecords.com for info.